गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा मन चारु यमुना तीरा मन चारु जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर श्री राधे जय कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय गौरानिताय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय जय गुरुदेव 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 जय जय गुरुदेव नितय गौरा हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नितय गौरा हरि बोल हरि बोल नितय गौरा हरि जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस सत्यवादी दक्षाय स्तोत्र दिवंगत भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री गोपाल महाराज की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस सत्यवादी दक्षाय स्तोत्र दिवंगत भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज की जय। ब्रह्मचर्य शिला भस्ताकर की जय। प्रेम से जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तगण की जय। जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंज राधा कुंज गिरि गोविंद धाम की जय। विमान मथुरा धाम की जय। मायापुर जगन्नाथपुर धाम की जय। ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जय। श्रीमद् भगवद गीता की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की जय। संवेद भक्त बिंद की जय। और ग्लोरियस सेमिनरीज हरे कृष्ण और ग्लोरियस सेमिनरीज हरे कृष्ण और ग्लोरियस गुरु एंड गौरंगा हरि हरि बोल। So we are reading today from 3rd canto, 21st chapter, and verse number 31. जीवेषु दत्वा चाभ्यं आत्मवान् मायात्मानं सह जगत् द्रक्षसि आत्मनि चापि माम् कृत्वा द्वयं च जीवेषु दत्वा चाभ्यं आत्मवान् मायात्मानं सह जगत् द्रक्षसि आत्मनि चापि माम् कृत्वा द्वयं च जीवेषु दत्वा चाभ्यं आत्मवान् मायात्मानं सह जगत् द्रक्षसि आत्मनि चापि माम्। कृत्वा द्वयं च जीवेषु दत्वा चाभयमात्मवान् चाभयमात्मवान् मया आत्मानं सह जगाल निरक्षसी आत्मनि चापि नाम कृत्वादायं च जीवेषु नत्वाच्चादयमात्मनाम् मया आत्मानं सह जगत् द्रक्ष्यसि आत्मनि चापि माम् कृत्वा having shown दयाम् compassion cha and jiveshu toward living beings dhatva having given cha and abhayam assurance of safety atmavan self-realized mai in me atmanam yourself Saha, Jagat, Jagat along with the universe, Drakshasi, you will perceive, Atmani, in yourself, Cha, and Api, also, Maam, Me. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, showing compassion to all living entities, we will attain self-realization. Giving assurance of safety to all, you will perceive your own self as well as all the universes in me and myself in you. So this is a long purport, but we'll do just two paragraphs of that because the rest of the speakers tomorrow and onward, they'll do the rest of the purport. So we'll focus on the first two paragraphs for now. Purport, the simple process of self-realization for every living entity is described here. The first principle to be understood is that this world is a product of the Supreme Will. There is an identity of this world with the Supreme Lord. This identity is accepted in a misconceived way by the impersonalist. They say the Supreme Absolute Truth transforming himself into the universe, loses his separate existence. Thus, they accept the world and everything in it to be the Lord. That is pantheism, wherein everything is considered to be the Lord. This is the view of the impersonalist. But those who are personal devotees of the Lord take everything to be the property of the Supreme Lord. Everything, whatever we see, is the manifestation of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. This is oneness. The difference between the impersonalist and the personalist is that the impersonalist does not accept the separate existence of the Lord, but the personalist accepts the Lord. He understands that although he distributes himself in so many ways, he has his separate personal existence. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. I am spread all over the universe in my own personal form. Everything is resting on me, but I am not present. There is a nice example regarding the sun and the sunshine. The sun by its sunshine is spread all over the universe and all the planets rest on the sunshine. But all the planets are different from the sun planet. One cannot say that because the planets are resting on the sunshine, these planets are also the sun. Similarly, the impersonal or pantheistic view that everything is God is not a very intelligent proposal. The real position, as explained by the Lord Himself, is that although nothing can exist without Him, it is not a fact that everything is Him. He is different from everything. So here also the Lord says, you will see everything in the world to be non-different from me. This means that everything should be considered a product of the Lord's energy, and therefore everything should be employed in the service of the Lord. One's energy
energy should be utilized for one's self-interest. That is the perfection of the energy. This energy can be utilized for self-interest if one is compassionate. A person in Krishna consciousness, a devotee of the Lord, is always compassionate. He is not satisfied that only he himself is a devotee, but he tries to distribute the knowledge of devotional service to everyone. There are many devotees of the Lord who faced many risks in distributing the devotional service of the Lord to people in general. That should be done.
Om Jnanatam Rangasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Vipakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Stha Shri Rupam Sadra Jatam Sahagana Ravinatam Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Krishna Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Stra He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishudhani Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tirugasha Kripa Sindhu Vahevacha Patitanam Padmebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vishwapadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shumate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Thinamaya Namaste Saraswati Devi Gnomani Pichari Nene Vishwasha Shunyavadi Pashatari Shukahina Chunda Krishna Shantra Bhakti Shantra Bhakti Saitanya Prashutra Bhakti Shantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna. So I want to share something that before I start, my mind was again and again telling me that I'm not qualified to give this class up till this point. And I've been fighting with my mind, not that because I'm qualified, but I was giving reasons to the mind that yes, you're not qualified to sit on this Vyasasana because there's so many exalted devotees who give class here. There are three reasons that came to my mind which thought I should be sitting here and doing this, not because I'm qualified, but one, because it's a service, and it will actually please my spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada. And three, it's the instruction of my spiritual master also to do it. And there's so many exalted devotees here and also on the call, so I want to see blessings from all of you so that I can continue to do this as a service to my Guru Maharaj and to Srila Prabhupada. So, Vancha Kalpa Tirugasya Kripa Sindhu Vahevacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So my fight with the mind will continue, but as long as I'm giving reasons, maybe I'll be able to do this service. So this verse, Kritva Dayam Cha Jiveshu Dattva Cha Bhayam Atmavan Maya Atmanam Saha Jagat Drakshasi Atmani Cha Piman. So this is coming from the chapter 21, and we've been reading chapter 21 for more than a month now. It's the conversation between Manu and Kardama. And Kardama's service was to generate progeny. That's the service that is given to Kardama Muni by Lord Brahma. And his responsibility is to fill the universe and be the secondary creation.
So to do that, he wanted to marry a suitable girl and have children. So Kardama Muni did austerities for 10,000 years. And after doing his austerities for 10,000 years, Lord Vishnu appeared, Lord Krishna appeared, and he was facing him. And this is a very rare occasion. Like, you don't see everyone having the Lord face to face. So Kardama Muni was a special devotee that because of his austerities, because of his purity, he was able to see the Lord face to face. And having darshan of the Lord was actually very pleased with Kardama Muni. And the interesting thing is, he already knew what Kardama Muni is looking for. So the Lord knows what our desires are. The Lord knows our inner desires. So without even asking, or actually he did ask, but the Lord knew what his desires are. So the Lord started giving him benedictions. And he said, you will have daughters, you will have a son who will come. Actually, that was not Kardama Muni's desire, but the Lord granted him the desire that I will come, my incarnation will come as your son. And in one of the benedictions which we read in the previous verse, which is verse 30, is, it says, with your heart, the Lord is saying, with your heart cleansed by properly carrying out my command, resigning to me the fruits of all your acts, you will finally attain to me. So I was thinking that it's in the sense that this is the most wonderful benediction that Kardama Muni can have. Yes, Kardama Muni wanted to have a suitable wife. Yes, Kardama Muni wanted to have kids because that was his service. And he was also going to get the Lord as his son. But eventually Kardama Muni will leave everything and he will fully devote himself to Krishna consciousness. And the end result will be that he will go back to Godhead. And that is the benediction that was given to him in the verse 30, a verse before this that we read. And in the purport for 30, Srila Prabhupada says, if we act in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the Lord and his representative, then everything is sanctified. This is the indication given to Kardama Muni, who acted on it and therefore received the most excellent wife and child, as will be disclosed in the later verses. So that is the benediction. So in verse 31 that we are reading today, the Lord actually gives a vision to Kardama Muni. What is that vision? He says, especially in the second part, he says, you will perceive your own self as well as all the universes in me and myself in you. So, and Srila Prabhupada mentions this in the first paragraph of the purport that we read, and all of that knowledge that Kardama Muni will receive is described in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 9. And in chapter 9, what is the title of the chapter 9? Which is Most Confidential Knowledge. And if it's described that if Bhagavad Gita is like a jewel box, then chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita is like a jewel in that jewel box. So it's the middlemost chapter and the most important chapter. And in Bhagavad Gita, there are three types of knowledge described. First type of knowledge is the confidential knowledge. That is Ghuya. That means knowledge of matter and spirit. The second type of knowledge is called more confidential knowledge, which is Ghuya Tara, which is knowledge of bhakti. And the third type of knowledge, which is described in chapter 9, it's the Aishwarya Gyan, which is the most confidential knowledge. That describes the majestic and majestic aspect of Krishna, and the excellence of a pure devotee, Ananya Bhakti, is described. Now, Krishna starts chapter 9. So to understand this 31st verse, we have to understand what Krishna is describing in the chapter 9, especially in the first few verses up to verse 6. So Krishna is starting this chapter of chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita by saying, Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam. He is saying that this is the most secret of all secret knowledge. And then he says that who is qualified to hear this knowledge? He gives two conditions. There are two conditions for being qualified to have this knowledge. That qualification is, one is anusuyave, which is non-enviousness. And the second qualification is what? Anyone knows here? The second qualification is Shraddha, the faith. He says, Shraddha, we need to have the Shraddha, and we need to have faith to have this knowledge. And then after describing that, he goes to the fourth verse of Bhagavad Gita. So I'm going to share some details from that fourth verse. So in the fourth verse, he says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutani na chaham tesha avastita. So he says, Maya tatam idam sarvam. And he says, I'm going to read 4, 5 and 6 because it's kind of in the order and we will understand what it means. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And then says Krishna says, and yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation, for myself is the very source of creation. In number 6 he says, understand that as the mighty wind blowing everywhere rests always in the sky, all created beings rest in me. So in the fourth verse he says, by me in my unmanifested form this entire universe is pervaded. Maya tatam idam sarvam. So Krishna is saying, I'm everywhere. Wherever you see, I'm there. But can we see Krishna everywhere? The question may come, can we see Krishna everywhere? No, for some of us we cannot see Krishna everywhere because we are seeing Krishna through material eyes. And then the only way to see Krishna everywhere is when our eyes are anointed with love. And Srila Prabhupada describes this, which is Pramanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadeva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. And he says that one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda always within himself and outside himself if one has developed the transcendental loving attitude towards him. So if we have love of Krishna, then we'll be able to see Krishna everywhere. But for a sadhaka, for a devotee who is practicing Krishna consciousness, this maybe is the knowledge. We get this knowledge, it's jnana, and then eventually it can become vidyan, which is the realized knowledge. Once we become pure, once we are our sadhana is pure, then we'll be able to see Krishna everywhere. So then Krishna says, Matstani sarva bhutani na chaham tesha vavastita. He says, all beings are in me, but I am not in them. What does it mean when Krishna says, all beings are in me? There are few meanings of that described by acharyas. First meaning is that all beings are in me means he is the sustainer of all the living entities. He is the maintainer of all living entities. All living entities are dependent on him. So that is the meaning. And then when he says, but I am not in them, meaning that he is not dependent on them. Everyone is dependent on him, but he is not dependent on them. So that is the point he is making. And then he further says in the next verse, and yet everything that is created does not rest in me. So he's kind of contradicting. But it's apparent contradiction. He's not contradicting. He's saying that, yes, everyone depends on me. I do not depend on anyone. And I'm also aloof. That means there is no attachment. So we look at the story of Bharat Maharaj and the deer. Bharat Maharaj thought that this deer is attached to me. Right? He's dependent on me. And in the same way, Bharat Maharaj also had that attachment for that deer, because he thought he is dependent on me, so he is also attached to that deer. But that's not the case for Krishna. Krishna is not attached, he is aloof. He is creating, he is sustaining, he is maintaining, he is destroying. Like who creates, maintains and destroys also his creation? Only when someone who is detached from his Swami's energies. So there are different energies of the Lord that are in function. So his unmanifested energy of the Lord is the Brahman. Then his super soul is another energy of the Lord, and then there is Bhagavan. That is the personal and personification of the Lord. So when Krishna says, I am everywhere and all beings are in me, he is saying, I am the super soul. He is the super soul of the universe. That means he is the super soul of the universe means he is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. He is super soul of the living entity means he is Shirodakshaya Vishnu. He is super soul of all the universes as he is Mahavishnu. So all beings are in him. Right? And the example is given of wind and the sky. So there is sky that we see, and then there is wind. The wind is moving in the sky. But can wind go beyond the sky ever? No. Wind can never go beyond the sky. So in the same way, all the living entities are moving within this material universe, and they can never go through the outside of the jurisdiction of the Supreme Lord. So he is the sustainer, maintainer, and the creator and the destroyer of all the universes. But this is the explanation of these verses. But the main point that Srila Prabhupada bringing out of all of this is, do not think that if Krishna's energy is everywhere, and that's his avyakta energy, which is his impersonal energy, don't think that Krishna is impersonal. And he describes even in this verse, in the 9.4, in Bhagavad Gita, he says, yet one should not conclude that because he is spread all over, he has lost his personal existence. To refute such an argument, the Lord says, I am everywhere and everything is in me, but still I am aloof. For example, a king heads a government, which is but the manifestation of the king's energy. The different governmental departments are nothing but the energies of the king, and each department is resting on king's power. But still one cannot expect the king to be present in every department personally. That is a crude example. So king is the different energies of the king, and with all his energies these different departments are working. But is he present in all those departments? No, he is not personally doing in those departments, but those departments are working because of his energies. So in the same way, Supreme Lord Krishna is in the spiritual world, but his energies are working. There are delegations going on. He is delegating to Lord Brahma to create, he is delegating to Lord Vishnu to maintain, he is delegating to Lord Shiva to annihilate everything. So that is described. Now, in this case, Kardama Muni is getting this benediction, right? He will be able to see the Lord everywhere, and he will be thoroughly Krishna conscious. Because he will be able to see Lord everywhere, he will be thoroughly Krishna conscious. And one who is thoroughly Krishna conscious is naturally very compassionate. So if we are pure in our Krishna consciousness, then automatically we become more compassionate. So in the first line of the Bhagavatam verse that we are reading, which is Kritva Bhavam Cha Jiveshu, and the Lord is saying, showing compassion to all living entities. And if you look at in Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter, 33rd verse, Krishna says, be an instrument, Arjuna, and fight. Right? He's saying, nimitta matram bhava sarva sachin. He said, become my instrument and fight, Arjuna. And also in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says that, if someone takes my knowledge and gives it to others, then he becomes most dear to me and he can come back to me. So Krishna is showing that if you are compassionate to all living entities, then you become very dear to Krishna. And who can become dear to Krishna? One who is able to see Krishna everywhere. So Krishna is pleased with someone who is actually in oneness and interest with Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada mentions this point of oneness in the purport. So what does it mean to be in the interest of oneness with the Lord? So what is the Lord's interest? What does Lord want? The Lord wants to reclaim all the conditioned souls back to Godhead. That is his interest. That is his main interest. That's why he comes again and again to this material world. Right? Also for the pleasure of devotees and also to reclaim devotees back to his abode. Now if someone acts with that kind of mindset of the oneness and interest of the Lord, then automatically he pleases the Lord. Now in the purport, there are beautiful paragraphs this purport has that we did not read today. But I want to share something from those, from one of the things that Prabhupada explains in the purport. He explains the three types of devotees. He explains the Kanishta Adhikaris, Madhyama and the Uttama. And he says that Kanishta Adhikaris are ones who worship the deities, they come to the temple, but they may not have full faith in the devotees, may not have the full respect of the devotees, and also may not be that compassion. They don't have that much of compassion for the people in general. Madhyama Adhikaris are who are Prema Maitri Kripa Upeksha. They are Prema, love for the Lord. They have Maitri, they have friendship with the Lord, a friendship with the devotees. And Kripa, that means they give mercy to the innocent. And Upeksha means they are non-envious. They are envious, they are actually ignorant of the envious people. They don't want to be with the envious people. And the third type is the Uttama Adhikari. We have first class devotees. And what they do is interesting. What they do is, they give assurance to the every living entity that there is no fear. So what do? They instill fearlessness into all devotees. So that is the quality of Uttama. So Madhyama is like Kritva Gaya Cha Jiveshu. Kritva Gayam Cha Jiveshu. And the second line which says Datva Cha Bhayam Atmavan are the Uttama Adhikaris who are giving fearlessness to everyone. Now, what is the example that comes to mind when we think about fearlessness? I think of Prahlad Maharaj. There is a beautiful verse in the 7th canto, 9th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prahlad Maharaj says, O best of the great personalities, these are the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Narasimhadev. He says, O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in the thoughts of your glories and activities. So this is a great example of fearlessness. How do we get that fearlessness? By staying absorbed in the glories and pastimes of the Lord. And when we do that, This is described by Prahlad Maharaj as Maha Amrita. Maha Amrita means it's a great ocean of nectarian bliss, spiritual bliss. So someone who is absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord gets fearlessness. But Prahlad Maharaj was concerned about something. He was concerned about the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. So that is the compassionate nature of Prahlad Maharaj. His compassion, that you can see that he's concerned, he's not concerned about himself because he has fearlessness, because he can see the Lord everywhere and he can realize that he's absorbed in the glories of the Lord, pastimes of the Lord. So he already has the fearlessness. But with that fearlessness, he's getting this natural compassion for other living entities. And why do we show compassion for other living entities? Is because that will please the Lord. So Narad Muni says in the 4th canto, 31st verse, he says, by showing mercy to all living entities, being satisfied somehow or other, and restricting the senses from sense enjoyment, one can very quickly satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead Janardana. So by showing mercy, we can satisfy the Supreme Lord. And this is a beautiful purport. I was thinking of reading the whole purport, but maybe I'll read just one small paragraph of that. This is 4.31.19. Srila Prabhupada explains, the best way to show mercy is to spread Krishna consciousness. The entire world is suffering for want of this knowledge. People should know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause of everything. Knowing this, everyone should directly engage in his devotional service. Those who are actually learned, advanced in spiritual understanding should preach Krishna consciousness all over the world so that people may take to it and make their lives successful. So that's, it's a beautiful purport. And further he also says that even if a devotee has to go to hell to preach, they should do it. So why is that Lord Vishnu is giving that kind of benediction to Kardama? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, evam parampara praptam. Everything that is given to us is through the disciplic succession, the parampara system. Right? Nothing is created in thin air, right? Everything is coming from the parampara. So now Gaudiya Vaishnava disciplic succession, compassion is the very proof of self-realization. Our parampara does not kind of measure spiritual advancement merely by scholarship, merely by knowing all the verses, merely by memorizing everything is not the only thing that leads to advancement. But how deeply one feels pain for the suffering of others defines our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we take many examples from our parampara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared, he came to establish love of God. He came with a revolutionary instruction. He said, para upkar. He said, give, make your life successful and make other people's lives successful by giving them this Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada says, at one time he says, this is the biggest para upkar movement. Krishna consciousness is the biggest para upkar movement. So Mahaprabhu's movement was driven by urgency. Souls are suffering, time is short. He wanted to give love of God freely. He wanted everyone to distribute love of God freely to everyone in this world. And he started the Sankirtan movement that included loud chanting. He started the public preaching. So he did all of that out of his compassion for the living souls. And the same compassion manifested through Lord Nityananda, and who is celebrated as the embodiment of mercy. And Nityananda Prabhu did not discriminate between qualified and unqualified. Right? For him, everyone was entitled to have the mercy of the Lord. So a great example of that is when Lord Nityananda saw Jagai and Madhai. And are you all with me right now? Haribo? This is the most important part of this talk, because we can see the mercy, the compassion of Lord Nityananda. So when he saw Jagai and Madhai, this is described in Nityananda Charitamrita, he says, Lord Chaitanya has descended to deliver the fallen people of this age. Where will he find anyone more fallen than these two? The Lord has not yet revealed himself to the ordinary people. Not seeing his uncommon influence, they are ridiculing him. If the Lord bestows mercy on these two sinful drunkards, then people of the entire world will see his transcendental glories. So Lord Nityananda does not see the sinners. He sees an opportunity. He sees an opportunity to give compassion to the fallen conditioned souls, to even the sinners like Jagai and Madhai. Now, he said something more, which is even more amazing. Who's with me here? Haribo. So, this is the most important part where Nityananda Prabhu says, he says, being known as Nityananda, the servant of Lord Chaitanya, will have meaning only if I can purify their hearts and deliver them. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu's identity was as the servant of Lord Chaitanya. He is measuring his success not by his personal purity or personal sadhana or what is he is getting out of it. He is measuring everything, his advancement, everything on how he can extend this mercy to others. That's why he's saying that as a servant of Lord Chaitanya, that meaning will only come out if I purify the hearts of others. So similarly in the line we have Srila Advaitacharya, whose appearance we had yesterday. Advaitacharya did not tolerate, he could not tolerate the condition of the living souls. And he cried again and again for the mercy of the Lord. He cried for the Lord to appear in this material world. And because of his cries, the Lord descended as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is his compassion, his intense compassion that compelled the Lord. Scriptures describe the Lord was compelled. The main reason he came is because Advaitacharya wanted him to come. And he came to spread this Sankirtan movement and to give everyone the love of God. This whole compassion, the current of that compassion is not lost. It's actually getting stronger and stronger as our parampara is going forward. We see that with the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we see that with our very dear Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada showed compassion by following the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to spread Krishna consciousness all around the world. He wrote his books, he gave his lectures, he repeatedly described that Vaishnavas are para dukha dukhi. That means one who feels pain and suffering for others, others are suffering without Krishna. So they are also, he sees them as para dukha dukhi. That means he is also suffering, seeing the suffering of others. He came to the West, he struggled, he had heart attacks while he was coming here, and then finally he gave us these books, his lectures, he trained his disciples, and he spread this Sankirtan movement all around the world. So, Srila Prabhupada explained that the greatest mercy is to give Krishna consciousness, because it frees the soul from suffering. So I want to read three verses from the Srila Prabhupada poem, Markina Dharma, that shows his intense compassion for others. Srila Prabhupada says, how will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy, so that I will be able to convince them about your message. Then he says, all living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. And then he says, I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. So to belong to this disciplic succession, this parampara, is to inherit a moral and spiritual obligation. We are not meant to be the spectators of mercy. We don't just want to see the mercy coming to us. We are meant to be the carriers. The same compassion that flowed from Mahaprabhu to Lord Nityananda to Srila Advaitacharya, from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to Srila Prabhupada, is meant to flow through us. So if we are just thinking about ourselves, then how deeply are we connected to this parampara? So our parampara is glorious. Because, why? Because it carries the mercy of the Lord. And that mercy can only continue if we pass it on. So how is this all related to what we read today in Srimad Bhagavatam? So in this verse, the Lord wanted to give Kardama Muni a very special vision. And what is that vision? Because of his love for the Lord, Kardama would be able to see the Lord everywhere, within himself, outside himself. And when one sees the Lord everywhere, compassion naturally awakens for all living beings. And through that compassion, one becomes firmly situated in self-realization. And by that association of that devotee who is self-realized, others gain fearlessness. This is the perfection that Lord is awarding to Kardama Muni in this verse. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Now we'll take any comments, questions, or any corrections, please. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mata.
Saying you're not qualified to give the class, sure, you're very qualified to give the class, your humility. One thing is, Krishna said that I'm not in them, you know, and but he's a super soul in all living entities. So how is that to be understood? Because I can understand the example with the sunshine, you know, the energy and all that. So, but the super soul is not just energy, it is Krishna. So he said, I'm not in all beings, you know, they're in me, but I'm not in them. But he is in a super soul.
Yes, so there are two things that Krishna is trying to say in the fourth verse and the fifth verse of Bhagavad Gita, where he says, I'm not in them, and then also not everything rests on me. He's trying to say that, because first he says that all beings are in me. So it's like everyone is dependent on him. But when he says, I'm not in them, he's saying not everyone, I'm not attached to them. I'm not dependent on them. They are dependent on me. So, for example, if someone comes to live in our home, and he's the one maintaining everything, he's the one supplying all the food, he's the one paying all the bills, everything. So who's actually doing it? That person who came into the house. He's the maintainer, he's the sustainer of that house. But if that person is not attached to what's happening, that means he's saying he's not dependent. So that's Krishna. He's present in our heart as a super soul, but he is not attached. He's aloof, as described, as Srila Prabhupada translates in his commentary, in his purport, he says that he's aloof. He's detached from everything. So he's creating, maintaining, destroying, but he himself is detached. That means as a person, he is detached from everything. And all his energies are acting in that manner. Does that help, Mother?
Yes. Yeah, I understand it's his energy, but that particular thing, like you're saying, if he's just saying that we have a willpower and we can make decision, but he is the absolute controller. I can understand. But he's saying I'm not in the being. I'm just thinking physically.
Yeah, personally also, that's a good point, that even as a person, he's not in them. Because he has Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And as a Bhagavan, he's not present in them, but as a Paramatma, he's present in them, and as a Brahman, he's present everywhere. So yes, he's saying that as a person, I'm not there, but my energy is there. So for us, for devotees, he's there. It's just that we understand. The impersonalists don't understand that, because they think that, okay, we are all God, and that's the different conception they have. But we know there is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So as a Bhagavan, he is not present in anyone, but as a Paramatma and as a Brahman, he is there. Especially when we talk about this knowledge, even the basic knowledge, the people's eyes kind of light up, and so I've come across many people while distributing books that they are amazed with the knowledge that is provided to us through the Guru Parampara. I'm trying to think if there's any specific story that I can tell. But I don't know if I'm...
What motivates
me to go out is the instruction of my spiritual master, is the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. What I feel is that by being in this parampara, by being in this Krishna conscious movement, it's my duty to do something. Because I look back at my life and look back at the mercy that Srila Prabhupada and my spiritual master has given to me, that really changed my life, that transformed my life. And now I can see that mercy is flowing through from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Lord Nityananda and all the way to us. So I feel it's a duty for all of us to take that service. And I was thinking earlier that maybe I should ask a question of, okay, what does preaching mean to you? Because preaching not always just means book distribution. Preaching can also mean prasadam distribution. Preaching can also mean, just as this purport will later say, that householders, what householders should do is they should do programs in their home. They should invite devotees. And that's also preaching. So we should not be restricted to just book distribution. If we can do book distribution, that is amazing, because Srila Prabhupada loved book distribution. That is his movement. That is what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave him, which is, take this book publishing. Book distribution is even higher than any other service. Why? Because books can go a long way. Right? A book given to a person can go from this part of the world to the other part of the world. And we usually say that Bhagavad Gita is like a time bomb. And there are so many stories where we give Bhagavad Gita to someone, and then there is another family member who received Bhagavad Gita from that person, and that person became a devotee. So that is why book distribution is so critical for our movement, because Prabhupada once said that, okay, this temple, if this, everything goes away, all the temples go away, everything is gone, but if you have my book, then you can start this movement again. So this whole movement is based on the book. And my inspiration for book distribution came through Bhagavad Gita. I was curious to understand about Bhagavad Gita. And if Srila Prabhupada had not given us this Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, the way these purports, these translations, then it's impossible to understand and apply this to our life. So everything starts from the book. And through the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, we can learn that this is our parampara. Our parampara is to go out and preach. Our parampara is to do Harinam. Our parampara is to distribute books, distribute prasadam, conduct programs where we can teach these wonderful scriptures that Srila Prabhupada has given us. So, I'll just show you. Yes, ma'am.
While I was talking to them, I could tell that they are not from this country, from the accent. Anyhow, after we settled my bank account, the problem with it, I said, thank you so much, Hare Krishna. I said, have you heard of Hare Krishna? She goes, yes, I'm a devotee. Mm. I said, really? He said, yes, I go to this temple right in our area. And we end up talking more about Krishna than my account. We talked for a long time. She was so excited. She said, you're a devotee, where are you from? Blah, 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 you know, all this stuff. And I told her we were from Florida. She said, I want to come and see. I heard about your temple. And I thought, just by saying that, you know, you can just, you know, this whole conversation started. Yeah. And my husband was standing in the back. He said, wow, that is incredible.
Yeah.
And then we went also to Gainesville the other day. And I was telling the woman something, and I said, oh, you know, I was doing the service at a temple. And he said, you mean the Hare Krishna temple? And I said, yes. She said, oh, I heard about you guys. I want to come, but what is it like? And just simple thing, you can start a conversation. I was, you know, we knew my faith that, you know, we just have to live our life like a devotee.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like being a devotee is a separate existence from who we are. It's become a natural thing. My husband is always like that. Wherever he goes, always gives prasadam, always. If a little something, an apple, a banana. And so many devotees became devotees just from prasadam. Because he will give it to them and he'll say, this is sanctified, it was offered to God, and, you know, please share it with your family. I said, Prabhu, it's only a banana. He said, it's okay. A boy told a story I heard many years ago, how he was at a gas station, And somebody came and gave him a banana, and he was telling the story, and he said, it tastes so different.
Yeah.
And he had given me, I guess my husband must have given him a leaflet, and he said, I want to thank that devotee. I don't know where he is. And he called my husband's name, and he said, I wish I could meet him. He was a devotee for 7 years. So you'd be amazed how little things, you know, were reawakened the Krishna consciousness in people.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you, Mata.
Yeah, I was so impressed this last week, and I just had this amazing experience with people I wasn't even planned to preach to.
We were in Virginia, and we stood like, when you go through the toll booths, people are giving out books to the toll booth people. Now it's mostly automatic, everything is, but again, wherever we go, we should carry books, even small books, and give it out to people, the wonderful conversations we can have with them. And I remember many years ago, after coming to Krishna consciousness, my mother showed me signs of self-realization that I bought maybe 10 years, 15 years ago, and I don't even remember. So these books, even though if you don't read them, if they're at home of someone, they can just generate this powerful energy that people can come to Krishna consciousness and transform their lives. So it's just, and as Srila Prabhupada says, even if someone touches, like as Vaisheshika Maharaj says, like just even if someone is not taking the book, just have them to touch the book even for 1 second, and then that itself will generate that energy in them. And it will give them the Gyat Sukriti, and eventually they can, maybe in this life or next life, they can come to Krishna consciousness.
It's funny, my sister has many books. She has a Bhagavad Gita. She was in the hospital. I just went up to see her in Fort Myers. So when I was coming back, I realized I didn't have any books in the car. So I said, hey, can I take this Bhagavad Gita? She goes, are you crazy? Just leave it there. It's my book. And I thought, you read it? She goes, sometime, but don't take it, please don't take it. She was like, whoa. And I thought, you know, like you said, they're time bombs, you know. Whenever she said, whenever I don't feel so well, I open it and read it. I mean, you know, so I was so glad to see that she was so attached to it, you know. I said, okay, I won't take it. Yeah, because sometimes I take one or two in the car and I give them out, and I realize I didn't have any. I had a rental car, and I thought, oh, I should have got some books. So I was trying to take her, she goes, no.
And this science is so important. Like we used to do this heritage festival in Virginia. And it's heritage festival. Oh. It's like a 2-day event. And we used to put books out there. There was a book table. I was part of ISKCON of DC. And we had a book table. And it's interesting that during those 2 days, and we did that for a few years till I was there, it was mostly an Indian event. Mostly Indians used to be there. But then very few Western people used to come. And then for 3 years in a row, we did Srimad Bhagavatam there, and only a Western person took Srimad Bhagavatam. 3 years in a row, and not even a single Indian took Bhagavatam, but a Western person who saw and used to stack, and we learned that from Mahatsa Prabhu, stack Bhagavatams like this. And used to stack Bhagavatams and put the stand on top of it. And we had one person who would come, there was one person who he came and he saw that, and he was like, oh, what is this? And he was amazed by it, and he started looking at it, then he left. And then after 5 minutes, we saw him again pass by, and he's looking at this, the tower. And then again 5 minutes later, he passed by, and then the next time he came, he said, I want to buy this set of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, and there, 3 years in a row, one person taking Bhagavatam, and that person was not an Indian, a Western person taking Bhagavatam. So that shows that these books have so much power, like there's so much energy that comes out, and also when devotees are presenting these books, and then and they can share what it's coming out of their heart, like it's not scripted. A lot of times when I was part of this kind of BC, I was told to, can you write a script that people can say when they're on the phone or when they're talking to someone? And I would write a script, but then every time you go outside of the script, because it's not the script that counts, it counts what you're speaking from the heart. So even if someone knows one verse of Gita, or one line of Gita, just using that one line you can preach to others, because it's coming from the heart. And that's what will strike this other person more than our script, like this memorization and all those things, and being part of us, like reading a script. That's not going to matter. What will matter is how we are speaking from the heart, that one understanding we may have from Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture. So,
Yes, book distribution preaching is very powerful. It reinforces your faith with every contact you make. I told a story a long time, I'm not going to take anybody's time, but this old man, you know, he saw Prabhupada's picture in the back of a Krishna book, a big, huge picture, and he went, I thought he was going to have a heart attack, and he said, "I know that man, I know, he came in my dream." Yeah. And he was in, you know, he was in tears, and he said, he saved me, and he was talking about Yamaduta is trying to pull him away, and Prabhupada saved him. Prabhupada put his hand up and stopped them. Yeah. And so he spent his whole life trying to find who this man is in the Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, we're not, Prabhupada said, we're not this body, you know, so everybody, you know, Krishna is in the heart, and these people have had previous, you know, relationship with this person, you know, Prabhupada. And so we don't know who they are when we go there and preach. We are surprised, oh my God, they took a book. But look at we took books. That's how we came to devotees. So we have to remember those experiences. When we remember those experiences, we will go beyond our doubts and give these books out.
Yeah.
Because people, we're not bound by these colors or sizes or age or, you know, any of that. This man was an old man, and he said, "I know that man. He came in my dream. He was very, very, you know, certain he wanted to find who this man is. So when he saw it, he was chasing me, and I thought he was trying to report me to the police. So I was running, and he finally grabbed me, and he said, 'Who is this man?' You know. Yeah. And then I started talking to him. So yeah, the energy is out there, the experience is out there. We just have to be the instrument, like Krishna is telling Arjuna.
Yeah.
Be the instrument. It's all already, these people are all devotees. It's just you being, putting yourself out there to preach to them.
Yes.
Not even preach, just be the instrument. Prabhupada is doing the preaching in the books.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.